me invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. God's Word will take us to the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter, starting at verse 15. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. God says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." And Father, we ask you now that you might prepare a people that is holy and godly and able to be a light in a very dark and perverted generation. Sanctify your people today for your honor and your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As you know, for the last few weeks, the Lord has been taking us to various themes that he has given for us to help us to live a holy and godly life in an increasingly more dark and wicked world. And God is taking us this morning to the book of Ephesians. We've entitled our themes today, Wine, Whiskey, and Weed. Came across an article that I want to draw to your attention that helps to put this thing in perspective. It's in Time magazine, and the cover simply says, "Rape." And it has a collegiate flag, as most colleges have. And the article written here by one of the editors, entitled, "A Crisis in Higher Education." And the article specifies that 20% of our young ladies that go to schools of higher learning, like universities and colleges, 20% of them are sexually abused and raped during the time of their tenure in the school. That's an alarming statistic. That you would send your daughter to a university and two in five, you can expect for them to be in some way sexually accosted, and some of them, half of those, seriously raped in the process of their attending the university. And the article is rather graphic, and a number of recommendations that are made as to what to do in this situation, because it's an alarming thing to send your daughter and to realize that she has a 20% chance of having herself in some ways sexually abused, molested, even raped, as she attends the university. There is, however, a startling thing here, because in the whole of the article, there is what they call, it's called the elephant in the room. It's an expression that means that there's a present problem that nobody recognizes or nobody wants to talk about. The elephant in the room. And in this article, as you read through it, there is an elephant in the room that nobody talks about and nobody touches. But it's in the room. It's in that room. It's in this room. It's in the room of America. And it's this one. Because after they go and explain the statistics and how it happens, it makes this statement that I want you to listen carefully. I quote, "Nearly three-quarters of those victims," that is, those that were literally raped, "were incapacitated," underscoring the role of alcohol in campus assaults. There's the reason why they were raped in the first place was because they were drunk and did not know or could not resist. And that is the extent of the statement. It is never touched again. It is never dealt with again. It is never mentioned again. The elephant in the room is the consumption of alcohol, the partaking of intoxicants of all forms, and the impact that it's making upon our culture. Our college culture, the American culture, and even the American church. There's an epidemic taking place, people. There's an elephant in the room, and nobody wants to talk about it. And it's here. It's here, and it's there. And the Apostle Paul brings it to our attention this morning when he said, "Be not drunk with wine, because there is dissipation there, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." And we need to identify this elephant in the room and talk about its effects for a few moments, because it is devastating. We need to talk about this. In the same article, in the same edition, there's a little tiny paragraph given in the early part that mentions, almost in passing, 3 million deaths worldwide because of alcohol. That is, 3 million people die every year because of alcohol. That's the elephant in the room. Nobody speaks about that. We spent last year $871 billion in car accidents alone. That's the cost that comes because of car accidents. $871 billion. And guess what is the major cause of car accidents? That's right, alcohol. It is bleeding us. Bleeding us. There's untold destruction. There's an epidemic, people. There's an epidemic all around us of hardcore drugs. Meth, heroin, cocaine. Major epidemic. The price of heroin and cocaine is so low. I mean, it's so cheap. Anybody can buy it any place. It's cheaper than ever. It moved one of the governors back east to devote all of his state address to talk about the drug problem in his state. That's how prevalent it is. And to realize that this is just the tip of the iceberg. Seizures on the border of illegal drugs is over 100%. It's not because the feds are doing a better job of seizing, it's just the amount that is coming over because of the consumption in America. That the trade is so great that the amount of seizures is just over 100%. 29% of our 10th graders have already used pot, already used marijuana. That's how it is. And then there's a whole host of new drugs. There's an article that I read recently and talked about the new drugs that are coming on the scene. The title of this article is "The Drug Threat in Plain Sight." And it's talking not about heroin and meth and cocaine and marijuana. It's talking about the synthetic drugs. Drugs that are being made in China, made here, made different places, that are not illegal. And our kids are smoking them. Our kids are taking them, and they are harmful and destructive. They even kill and maim our children and young people. These are synthetic drugs that are now the thing, the in thing in our culture. Friends, there is a major, major problem in our society and in our churches. Now, how does America respond to that? Well, friend, it's appalling. We glamorize it. We glamorize this whole drink and drug thing. Why? Because it's the in thing to do. There was a time when if you were a drug addict, if you were a drunk, it was a shameful thing. I mean, when I was a kid, my father would threaten me, don't you be a marijuano. What do you tell me? You don't want to be a marijuano. I never knew what a thing was to begin with, but I was afraid of it. And now it's like the main thing. It's like the thing to do. It's like, you know, celebrities do it. Celebrities die of it and nobody says a thing about it. Why? Because it's glamorized. We publicize it. We sell liquor. We sell it. We publicize it. It's advertised. It's the main thing for sports. We even have gone as far as to legalize it. How many states do we have now that legalize marijuana? And it's just opening the door, and there's no turning back. The door is open, and it's not ever going to be closed. It's not going to be closed. It's open now. And so it's legalized, and it's going on and on and on. And then America justifies it. We justify this elephant. We say, well, you know, it's good for you. I mean, having a glass of beer, of wine is good for you. There's like antioxidants there and a bunch of other anti-stuff because it's in the grapes. It's in the red grapes. Well, then I say to you, then eat what? Grapes. I say to you, drink grape juice. But see, we want to say it, and so we legalize, you know, the benefits of medical marijuana, medical whatever, medical drugs. There are a host of Americans that are hooked to prescription drugs because they're unwilling to deal with pain any other way, and discomfort any other way, except it come through illegal drugs. Even Christians go as far as to justify it. We think it's a Christian liberty for us to drink and for us to do these things. Now that pot is legalized, we'll have this argument now. It's not even wrong to smoke pot. Therefore, it becomes a Christian liberty for us to do these things. There are Christian colleges here in America. They used to have in their admissions and their requirements for professors that they would have to be abstainers. That's been removed now. And these professors in Christian colleges now can be drinkers, etc. There's a movement there for us to say, well, you know, it's okay. God does not condemn it. It's our Christian liberty. Well, as you believer, you need to always apply the test for your Christian liberty. Does it edify? Does it produce a better believer? Does it make you a better Christian? Does it make others better believers? That's the test. It isn't just your freedoms. Does it really edify? Has it ever controlled your life? So you drink. You ever gotten drunk? So you smoke. You ever been overcome by that? The answer is yes, then obviously it's wrong for you because it has domination over you. Does it really bring glory to God? I mean, is God really exalted in this that you're doing, in this liberty? Be sincere about this. Because that's how you deal with the question of Christian liberty. But you know, friend, from time to time, we need to stop and just ask yourselves, what does God really say about this whole matter of drunkenness? I mean, I'm beyond the little glass of Christian Brothers brandy. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this elephant in the room of illegal drugs and legal drugs in our homes. Husbands and wives, you know, having their little joint and passing that thing around. Or in your places of work, you know, that's your recreation. That disco, that nightclubbing, that drunkenness. The parties that these people talk about where that happens, that's the kind of stuff we're talking about. What does God say about these things? We need to talk about that. You know, when the Apostle Paul wrote to us in Ephesians, he says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. That is dissipation. It is debilitating. It is destructive. This thing that you do is utterly destructive in your life, and God has a take on that. And I want us to let God speak to us this morning, because God is very clear in regards to this. Let me take you to chapter 23 of the book of Proverbs for just a moment. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 23. God has a way of saying things that gets our attention. And in chapter 23 of the book of Proverbs, he speaks on the debilitating effect of drunkenness. And I want you to read with me what it says here in the 23rd chapter of Proverbs, and starting at verse 29. He says here, God says here, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions, that is, fightings? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? No reason to suffer this way. Who has redness of the eyes? Those who linger long over wine, those who go to taste mixed wine. Do not look in the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At last it bites like a what? And stings like a what? Viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your mind will utter perverse things. And you'll be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea, like a drunken sailor who falls overboard and drowns in the open sea. Or like one who lies down on the top of a mast. The lookout on a ship, way up on top, he's so drunk that he just falls and just lies up there on top, can't do his duty. They struck me, he says, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I didn't even know it. When shall I awake? I will seek another what? Another drink. You know, this is God's take on this. This is you going down this path, and it's going to destroy your life. It's going to destroy your health. This stuff is so bad, people, that police officers now in big major cities have to take this new drug. No, they take it with them because, you see, there's so many overdoses of heroin and cocaine that are certain death to people. They have this new drug that is able to, they give it to them if caught in time, that can prevent this overdose that kills them. Now they got to carry this around. Why? Because it's destroying people's lives. And it says here, who has all these problems? Who has their lives destroyed, their health destroyed? He says, these people. A pastor friend wrote me this note, friend. I want to read it to you. He says, Dear Alex, my son, as I write this, is in hospice in very bad shape. He is a great example of Galatians 6:7, which says, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he'll also reap. As much as it hurts me to say it, he just drank too much. This is a pastor's son who's dying because of drink and drunkenness. You know, friend, if there was just one like that in our church, I would preach like this today. Because one is too many. Even one is too many. To lose one son or one daughter to drink or drugs or any kind of intoxicant abuse, it's just too many. It's too much. Just because it's not your son or your daughter, we don't worry about it. But if it is your son and it is your daughter, then you what? Then you worry about it. It destroys your wealth. Destroys your wealth. Look at verse 20 of chapter 23. He says here, do not be with heavy drinkers of wine or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to what? Poverty, and drowsiness will clothe one with what? Rags. Hey, you're going to spend your wealth doing that. You're going to spend your wealth, you know, buying all this stuff and getting hooked on this stuff. Drug dealers know. They know where the big money is. They know where it's at. Yeah, right now it's cheap. And they get you hooked on it, but eventually it will not be cheap. It'll be too late, but you'll squander your wealth on that. You'll lose the ability to make wealth. Ill health, loss of a job, divorce. Your wife and husband can't stand you because of who you are. Your jail, etc. You know, that's where it's at. There's a fellow that, where I live, one of these fast foods places where I go through the drive-thru, and there he is at the end of the drive-thru, begging for a few coins and a few dollars. And you know, he's a human wreck. He's a human wreck. He has lost everything. And you know, the cause of that is obviously drug abuse and drinking. And there he is, reduced to begging, all his dignity wasted. You see, that could be you. Oh, that won't happen to me. I'm sure he said the same thing. I'm sure he said the same thing. You know, our cities are littered with homeless people. They're littered with homeless people. And the major cause of their homelessness is this stuff. Drinking and drug abuse is the end up going there. It destroys your reasoning, destroys your mind. You know, it wipes out your thinking. Okay, go to chapter 20. Go to chapter 20 and verse 1. 20 and verse 1. Here God says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated is not what? Not wise. It doesn't say it's cool. It doesn't say it's cool, it says it's not wise. Why would you ever want to go to some place that's going to take your reasoning away from you? Even temporarily. You know, you may lose it for a while. You know, all the DUIs and the blackouts and intoxication and being high on something where you can't even think about what's going on. It robs you of that particular ability to reason. You know, we have a lion tamer, a ministry called Lion Tamers, where we're helping people that have this issue. And I recall a pastor saying to me in one of their lion tamer meetings, there was a father-son combination. And the father was trying to admonish the son, who was starting to get into the stuff, to not to do that. And the son had this to say to his father. He says, you know, Dad, when you were my age, you did it. You got drunk. And you did your stuff. Well, now it's my turn. Don't keep it from me. Let me do what I want to do. Well, friend, that young man right now is serving a long prison sentence. Because he killed someone in a drunken stupor. That's where he's at. See, it just destroys your reasoning. You'll have permanent brain damage. You have long life addictions that come as a result of this. And when you get on heroin, friend, the chances of you getting off heroin are really, really slim. Matter of fact, when it's all said and done, the only thing that can ever get you off of that is Jesus Christ. That's it. All other methods, they strike at it, but they just don't have the ratio. It takes a miracle of God to give you off of it. So don't ever start that path. Don't ever go there. Destroys relationships. How many disputes, how many husband-wife relations, how many families are in shambles because of this kind of stuff? How many divorces? How many abuses because of this? How many beatings come as a result of this? See why? You know, it's the elephant in the room. Nobody talks about it, but we need to. I recall doing a funeral once for this man who lived for drink and he lived for drugs, destroyed his family. Wife left him. He wouldn't support his kids. They hated him for it. At his funeral, there was the casket, and there was the body in it. And his own children, already adults, sitting way in the back in the very last set of chairs. And I recall someone saying to them, aren't you going to go up? And they wouldn't go. They wouldn't even look at the carcass of their father. That's how much they hated him. Why? What? That's his fault. That's his fault. You see, friend, you don't want... Why are we going to do that? And then destroys purity. I mean, these ladies... So what are you going to do about it? I mean, it's already done. You destroy your purity because of it. By the way, the Bible very open. Noah became drunk, and in his drunkenness was naked and exposed his son to impurity, and his son paid the price for it. Lot became drunk and committed incest with his own daughters. That's how bad it gets when you don't know what's going on. And then, how about these ladies? You see, you need to realize that stuff like this happens. This is the elephant in the room. And that's why, you know, God said and Jesus said, it's dissipation. It's debilitating. It's going to affect your life in the negative way. You know, friend, and God speaks to this. And God condemns it. God is not light in this thing. He doesn't just pass over it. He doesn't just put a band-aid on it. He speaks about the elephant in the room like he does for every other issue. Look at Isaiah 5 for just a moment. Isaiah chapter 5. And when the prophet speaks to the nation of Israel and God speaks to the prophet, he mentions that this stuff defiles the nation, defiles people. In Isaiah 5 and verse 11 and verse 12, woe to those, among many other woes, he says, I'm warning you, woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may pursue strong drink, who stay up late in the evening that wine may inflame them. Their banquets are accompanied by lyre and harp, by tambourine, by flute, and by what? And by wine. But they do not pay attention to the deeds of the Lord, nor do they consider the works of their hands. Now, friend, we could modify that. Their parties, their discos, their nightclubs, their activities, you know, their drunken orgies are filled with all kinds of stuff. Not anything to please God. Look at verse 22 of the same chapter. Verse 22. Woe to those who are heroes in what? Drinking wine, and valiant men in mixing strong drink. I mean, you think God's for binge drinking? Talk to me now. I mean, does he give you a medal to see how many gallons you can put down your... Does he do that? Talk to me now. He doesn't. There's nothing in that. Young man, there's nothing in there. Sir, there's nothing in there. You say, well, how many cans can I consume without losing it? There's no medal for you. God just says defiles you. Defiles you. You see, it's an activity that has nothing that promotes holiness in your life. Disqualifies you from ministry. The Bible is very clear. As he works through leadership, the leadership should not be involved in anything that would rob them of their ability to make a decision. That's why in Titus and Timothy, he mentions that. No, we don't want anyone to be in Christian leadership who's going down this path. This is why, at least at First Fundamental, we are very careful that our deacons and elders are not in any way, that they are abstainers from all matter of drink. Even our Sunday school teachers, we want them to be these kinds of people. We want them to be able to give the Word of God with all clarity and all sincerity. And friend, you need to realize that when God speaks of this particular thing, you know, it damns the soul. Look at chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. We just need to read this because we need to see what God says about this elephant in the room. In chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians and verse 19, we've read this before because there's a category here that we need to from time to time sit and listen to it and see what it says, that nobody be deceived. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Verse 9, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor what? Nor drunkards will inherit the kingdom of God. Go to Galatians 5. In Galatians 5, the apostle in another, God's word in another section says to us the same thing. Galatians chapter 5. And when he identifies the life of the pagan, the life of the heathen, the life of the unbeliever, this is a person without Jesus. The deeds of the flesh are evident. They are immorality, impurity, sensuality. Verse 19, Galatians 5:19. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying. What else? Drunkenness, carousing, and things like these of which I forewarn you as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Drunkenness and drug abuse damns the soul. You'll never find God in his book ever saying that alcoholism is a disease. It is not. It is a sin. It is a sin. Now, you can go to different places and you can argue yourself into a corner and say, you know, I have this disease, so I can't help myself. Yes, you can. It is a sin. And Jesus said to you, if your right hand offends you, what? Cut it off. If your right eye offends you, what? Pluck it out. It is better to go to heaven one-eyed, better to go to heaven with one hand missing, than having both your hands and both your eyes be damned to hell. Listen, you have to want to get to heaven. And you're not going to get to heaven if you're going down this path. Our Lord Jesus Christ made it very clear. Go to Luke 21. In Luke 21, made it very clear when he spoke about this coming again. Warned us again, anyone living a life that is less than holy before the Lord. In Luke 21:34, here's what he says when he speaks about his second coming. And he says to all of us, be on guard, verse 34, Luke 21:34, be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with what? Dissipation and what? Drunkenness and the worries of life. And that day, the coming of Christ will not come on you suddenly like a trap. And it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth. But keep on the alert. Friends, you cannot play games with this. We have these Christian people that somehow playing games with this issue. That somehow, you know, it's okay to do. You know, somehow God will forgive you. You can go to some rave or some party and or some get together and get high and get intoxicated and then somehow go and have some cheap confession and somehow everything's okay. You're gonna repeat it again the same. Friend, it's not gonna happen. No, I'm talking to those of you that are Christians, that are blood washed. Now, the rest of you that are half in, half out, boneless, spineless, hypocrites, I'm not talking to you. Because you're not going to listen to me anyway. You're going to go out of this room and go out and do your stuff. You could care less about holiness or purity or godliness or soberness or anything. You care less about that. And someday, you know, someday we'll have to bury you. Someday you'll be a statistic. And there'll be a coffin here for you and a casket and you in it. And we're going to talk about. But friend, you won't find us saying this person went to heaven. Praise God. Live like hell, but they went to heaven. We're not going to be saying that. We're going to say nothing. Nothing. We're not going to say you went to heaven, and we're not going to say you went to hell. Because your life will speak for itself. I'm talking to those of you that are Christians, that are born again, blood-washed Christians. Listen, you need to make sure that you are on your way to heaven, and drunkenness is a damning sin. It is not a disease. It is not some little thing you hang around and hold little clubs and do things and that. It is a damning sin, and Jesus speaks about it. That's why I want you to go back to Ephesians chapter 5 for just a few moments, because you see, what God advocates, what Jesus Christ advocates, he advocates temperance. His recommendation to God's people is obviously abstinence, that you live a holy and godly life. That's what he's concerned about. And Ephesians brings this out. That's the whole thrust of this. That's why the contrast here is between being drunk with wine, verse 18, and being filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, he says, but be filled with the Spirit. Listen, Christian, listen, child of God. We are reminded here that we're to live an entirely different life, and God's recommendation is for us to live. For example, he promotes a wisdom-filled life. Look at verse 15. Be careful how you walk, how you live. Not as what kind of people? Unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are what? Evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What's His will? Be filled with the Spirit and don't be drunk with wine. That's His will. And so He says you need to be wise and be filled with wisdom. Listen, people, I don't understand. I mean, there are some of you out here, you have IQs of, 150, 160. God bless you for that. But the rest of us, we're not in that category. We're in the other category. We can hardly make it through life. We just barely got our high school diploma. Talk to me now. You're trying to scrounge around to make it through college. And then to top it off, you hardly have anything upstairs, and then you numb it and you drunk it. What's going on here? Can hardly handle your home with your wife and children, and here you come half stoned home. Barely holding on to your job, and there you are, trying to sneak the pot, and your wife smells. She smells the pot in the bathroom or goes in the garage and finds the stuff there. Friend, you don't have a whole lot going for you to begin with. Talk to me now. And then you're going in that direction. Come on now. He says, be wise, not unwise. Yes or no? Now, I'm not putting down anybody. I've been an education friend for the last 30 years. And I have had my knuckleheads in class. And I've had the bright ones in class. And the bright ones can read through the stuff. And the knuckleheads, well, that's why they're knuckleheads. So, he says, be wise. Promote a wisdom-filled life. Make the best of what gives to you. So you always make the right choices. Listen, Chavalita, you go to college, and you end up in one of these little parties. By the way, 5% of these college men are the ones that are raping the other 20%. They have it down to a system. They have the parties down. They have the kegs. They have the drugs. They have the spiked punches. And they invite these little chavalas, these little prima donnas, these gals that think they're so smart to these parties, drug them up, and the rest is history. That could be you if you're that stupid. Talk to me now. See, he says, so make sure that you're filled with wisdom. He says, also notice that you are filled with the Spirit. The contrast is very simple. Don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It is the normal life of the believer. But see, you don't know, Brother Montoya, I drink to be happy. I mean, I want to get a high because, you see, I just want to feel good. Well, friend, you need to know, for as a Christian, that verse 19 is tied to verse 18. Look at it. To the Christian, now you half in, half out. Don't worry about it. But to you Christians, look what it says. Be filled with the Spirit speaking. See, it's tied into it. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making what? Melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God, even the Father. So you want to find real happiness, Christian? You want to find true happiness? You're not going to find it in a bottle. You're going to find it in some injection. You're going to find it in something you smoke or in something out there. You're going to find it in the worship of God, in loving the Lord. If you're not happy in Christ, if you are simply going through life and you're bored and you're unhappy, it's either because you're a hypocrite and a pagan at heart, or because you've not bothered to be filled with the Spirit of God and let Him be the one to fill you with joy and happiness. I can recall as a kid, Christmas, New Year's, birthdays, we used to sleep in the back room, my brother and I, and my dad would throw some mean parties. I mean mean ones. The booze would flow and the music would just be pounding all night long. And they would be laughing. And they'd be carrying on. But friend, the next day would be hell for everybody. Hell for everybody. So I seen it firsthand. And I came to Christ at the age of 16. And I've been on a party ever since. For since the age of 16 to now, I have been on a continual party every day of my life. My son asked me once, he says, Daddy, aren't you ever bored? I says, never, Mijo, I'm never bored. This life is so good. It is so sweet. It is so good. I mean, it's just great to be alive. Only because, you see, you have to yield your life to the Spirit of God. You have to trust Him. And if you ever have any problems with, you ever had drunkenness or alcohol or addictions in your life, friend, the only way you're ever, ever, ever going to get off it is you got to be filled with the Spirit of God 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 to the day you die. Otherwise, there's nothing else. You got to be totally clean. You got to yield. You got to clean everything. You can't even have NyQuil in your medicine cabinet. You follow what I'm saying? You got to be absolutely clean for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way to be clean, to be filled with the Spirit of God. And so, friend, if you're a child of God and you're looking for that thrill in your life, you'll find it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And then he ends by saying in verse 21, and be in submission to one another in the fear of Christ. The Apostle Paul put it this way. For you that have Christian liberties, he says your Christian liberty ends at your neighbor's nose. It ends right there. He says, whatever you do, Paul would say, I am committed to benefiting my brothers and sisters in Christ, to do whatever I can for other people. I will not drink wine. I will not eat meat. I will do nothing that causes my brother or sister to stumble. That's what he lives. That's how you live your life. You live your life for the benefit of other people in submission to one another. Listen, parents, you live your life for the sake of your children. Whatever you do in moderation, they'll do in excess. Well, you know, Pastor, we just, you know, I don't get drunk. I just have my daily beer. Yeah, what you do in moderation, your kids will do in excess. They do. And you need to be thinking about their life and teaching them what it means. Not just saying no, but explain no. You know, take them down to Skid Row. Take them down with the YSA and talk to some of these people on Skid Row. Show what happens. Follow the line. Follow the dots. Identify the elephant in the room. Let them see it so they can spot it and identify it. Because you see, friend, we're designed to do that. We want to win people to Christ. And some of you so-called, well, you know, I drink with my buddies because I want to lead them to Christ. How many have you led to Christ? How many of your drinking buddies are sitting with you in church right now because you've led them to Christ? Talk to me now. If you can't find any friend, then you're nothing but a lousy drunk hypocrite is what you are. And you'll repent of that and get yourself right with God. You're helping to damn your friends to hell instead of bringing them to Christ. You follow what I'm saying? You can't clean your hands like that. No, these little so-called liberation Christians, where are they? Are they down in Skid Row helping our winos come to God? No. Are they down? Are they helping some families where alcohol has wrecked them to shreds? No. Out there in some little nightclub passing their little Christian brandy around just talking about their Christian liberties as the whole world goes straight to hell. Friend, it's got to do something to you. It's got to do something to you. Well, Pastor, isn't it okay? I mean, every now and then, can't you just take one drink? Yeah, I suppose you could. But for your sake, I will not. Because if I took one drink, you would take 10. That's the way you think. Oh, Pastor, he got one. Pásame la mira, because he drinks too. So that's the way we are. Oh, yeah. I have all these anecdotes about you people where they meet you in supermarkets. There's your basket full of the stuff. And they find, oh, hi, brother. Oh, hi, how are you? Yeah, praise God. Yeah, see, you're trying to hide the stuff. You know, your kids see it. Your people see it. You need to do something about it. You want to bring your mom and dad to Christ. You want to bring your brothers and sisters to Christ. Whatever. It's got to, you've got to be in submission to other people. You can't just live for yourself. Listen, America has a problem. It's not like other countries where there is no problem. We have a problem. And so we Christians have got to walk, like he says, wisely, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Amen? We're not here to solve their problem. We're here to solve our problem. And if we solve our problem, we'll help solve their problem. Amen? Lord, thank you so much for being so clear with us today. And we pray you help us in all respects. Pray you help us as we are together today looking at the scriptures. We pray for all of us here, beginning with our men, our fathers, and our mothers, that they would be wise and see how the culture has so glamorized this whole aspect of intoxication and drug abuse. Lord, you help our parents as they raise their children to be ever vigilant, ever watchful, ever careful. And Lord, help our young people that are in this room right now, young ladies and young men, who on a regular basis are tempted. The drugs and drinks are thrown in their faces. May they have the courage and the boldness to say no, because their eternal destiny and their welfare of their life is at stake. And Lord, we pray you help us as a church and as leaders and teachers to so live, to be an example to all of us here. I pray for those that might be overwhelmed by the intoxication, by drugs and alcohol, that they would realize that they have a problem and come to Jesus Christ, first of all. Find forgiveness in Christ. And Lord, that they would realize that only Jesus Christ can truly set us free. No one else can. And that there's help available to them, that they would cry out to help, and find out that there is so much help by many people, even programs to help them if they really want to. And they can live for the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, America has a problem. It is evident everywhere. We just don't want to talk about it. Lord, today you spoke to us about it. We want to heed your word and to live for you. We now thank you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed. May God bless you. Have a wonderful Lord's Day.